Brothers, why don't you put your hands together for Jesus? Hallelujah. Do you know, every now and then when I'm praying, I think, should I pray that I could have one of those amazing, thunderous voices that can just hear a song and just, you know, but then I think, well, you know what, maybe it's just one of those things I was born with and I need to just live with. But God bless you. Why don't you take your seats? God is so good. You know, every now and then, God will put something on your heart or ask you to do something you think kind of, am I really the right person for that? Has that ever happened to you? Well, you've just thought, kind of, why me? And, you know, really the message God that put on my heart today to minister, I kind of, and as I get into it, you'll understand why, I think. I thought, Lord, you know, have you forgotten who you're talking to? You know, but sometimes God just wants to do something and say something through us, and we just have to say, here I am, Lord, use me. Amen? Amen. How many of you, you're very expectant for 2014? Praise God. I believe that God is doing a great work of plowing and preparation in this house at this season. How many of you have noticed that? That God's plowing. He's turning over the hard ground. He's dealing with things in our hearts and in our lives, and he's getting us ready for his glory. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, get ready. Just if we can have Galatians 3, verses 13 to 14 on the screen. I just want to start by reminding you of one of the most important promises in Scripture. Galatians 3, verses 13 to 14. And if I can have it in the New King James Version, that would be wonderful. But I'll read from there anyway for now. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon us, the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, that scripture is one of the most important verses in the New Testament for you and me. Because it's basically saying that the blessings are ours, but the curse is broken. Amen. Amen? It's saying that all of those curses that you read, which were the consequences of disobedience in the Old Testament, are broken over our lives. Now, that is something worth saying thank you, Jesus, for. Amen? And you see, yes, there will always be consequences for wrongdoing. But that's different to the legitimate curse of the law. Do you understand what I mean? And the Bible says that that is broken. Say broken.
Broken.
Hallelujah. And it also says that the blessing of Abraham is yours and it's mine. And he was a very blessed man. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. So the curse is broken. The blessing is mine. Now I want to quickly just touch on it. It says in Hebrews 11, verse 20, it says, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. So I want you to see that there's a relationship between faith and the blessing. Are you hearing me? So we obtain the blessing by? We obtain the blessing by?
Faith.
We release the blessing by faith, but we obtain the blessing by faith. Hallelujah. Now I want you to turn in your Bibles, and then you're just going to sit there for a little while as I remind you of the story, to Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27. Praise God. Now, this is the story which I'm sure if you know your Bibles at all, you'll know this story. It's the story of where Isaac, who was Abraham's son, Isaac was getting old, and he knew it's time for me to release the blessing into the life of my firstborn Esau before I die. He was very deliberate about that. You know, one of the things we need to learn to do is to be deliberate about the things that we're called to do and be in the lives of others. Amen? So he was very deliberate, and he said, Esau, go out, kill a goat, come back and cook me my favorite stew, and then I'm going to release the blessing. Now, Rebekah, the mother of both Esau and Jacob, heard this instruction going out, and so she quickly called Jacob. You see, let me tell you something. Rebekah could see the anointing. I encourage you to be someone who can see the anointing. See the anointing on your children. They may not be getting it all right yet, but see what God has destined them to become. Rebekah was seeing with the eyes of faith because she'd heard God, and from the day she heard the Lord about the destiny of Jacob, she kept that in heart. Am I saying she went around things the right way? Probably not. Who knows? But she saw the blessing. So what did she do? She said, Jacob, quick, come here. Your father's about to release the blessing on Esau. So here's what I want you to do. Bring me one of the goats from the flock. Esau's out hunting. Bring me a goat from the flock, the best one you can find. I'll cook it the way your father likes it. Then I'm going to send you into your father who's blind. We're going to cover you up in the hair of the goat because your brother's hairy. Put some clothes of your brother's on so he can smell your brother. And then you go get the blessing. Okay? And that's what Rebekah did. She said, Jacob, in you go. Go get the blessing. And then we're sorted. So we're going to pick up the story now at verse 30. So if we can have it on the screens, Genesis 27, verse 30. And it says, now it happened as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone out from his presence, that Esau, his brother, came in from hunting. He also had made savory food and brought it into his father and said to his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that your soul may bless me. And his father Isaac said to him, who are you? So he said, I'm your son, your firstborn, Esau. Then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I have blessed him. And indeed, he shall be blessed. When Esau heard these words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry. And his father said, bless. And he said to his father, bless me also, me also. But he said, your brother came with deceit, and he has taken away your blessing. And Esau said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now look, he's taken away my blessing. And he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? Then Isaac answered and said to Esau, indeed, I have made him your master, and all his brethren I have given to him as servants. And I'll stop there. This is an extraordinary story, because it shows the power of a father's blessing. Listen to me. Isaac never really liked Jacob. From his birth, he never really liked him. He couldn't see what his wife could see. Husbands, learn to listen to your wives. Amen. There's times when they'll know best. Wives, learn to submit to your husbands, whether they know best or not. And all the women said, amen. Hallelujah. You see, the men have to judge whether we've got it right. We don't get to judge. We get to trust God. And through our trusting of God, we submit. There's plenty of times when I've not seen eye to eye with my husband, and I've had to submit. But you know, there's safety in it. There's protection in it. Hallelujah. And look, you know what? Submission has got me so far. It really has. But it really has. You know, I recommend submission, ladies. Hallelujah. And if you're single and you're saying, oh, it doesn't apply to me. Yes, it does. Practice now. Who are the people that God has placed in your life that you're supposed to be listening to? When they give you a word of advice or a word of direction, you're supposed to, yes, of course, hear God. We don't become robots. But there are times when we're just supposed to say yes, because we trust God concerning those he's placed in our lives. So here is Isaac. And he is so knowledgeable and so of such a heart of understanding of the power of the Father's blessing that he can't even take the words away. Isn't that amazing? He cannot take back the blessing that he's released. I want to let you know here today that the blessings over your life are irrevocable. The goodness of God that he's promised to do for you is irrevocable. What God says about you is true, and no matter who it is that tries to contradict it, bring doubt into your mind, they are wrong and God is right. Hallelujah. Why don't you put your hands together for Jesus? You know, it's true that at an emotional level, say emotion, that at an emotional level, negative words really do carry more power often than positive words. And if you didn't know that yet, and I'm glad to let you know, because we all need to watch what we say to other people. Because I might need to say, 10, 20, 30 positive words if I mess up and release one negative word out of turn. Do you understand? At an emotional level, negative words come and they're like darts and they pierce the soul and they cut and they wound. And that's why we need to learn to allow God to heal our hearts. You know, God doesn't want to imprint his view of you on top of negative views that you already have of yourself. He wants to heal you first. He wants to release his healing power. You know, if you've had father or mother, like Jacob did, who just said stuff to you and about you that was hurtful, God isn't ignoring it. He's not saying, get over it. Move on. No, he's the one that said it's like darts. He's saying, I want to remove the effects. I want to heal. I want to remove the darts and I want to heal the wounds that they created. That's the emotional realm. Do you know faith is something that comes from our hearts? It's not of the spirit. Listen to me. Faith is of the heart. The heart is the same as the soul. So if your heart isn't healed, faith is going to have difficulty to take root in your heart. That's why it's my responsibility to get healed when I get hurt. Because I want to have a heart full of faith that can please God. But you see, what I'm trying to say is, yes, at an emotional level, negative words do have more power than positive. But at a spiritual level, we need to know the truth. That the blessing is more powerful than any curse the enemy tries to bring in your life. The blessing will endure for 1,000 generations. Are you hearing me? The blessing is irrevocable. But the curse can be dealt with, can be broken, can be removed from your line forever. Why don't you give Jesus praise? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, there is power in a father's blessing. You see, Jacob didn't, he knew that his dad didn't really love him. Not the way he loved Esau. not in the same way. Isaac rejoiced, his heart rejoiced in Esau. But, you know, it was different with Jacob. And yet Jacob knew that the words that come out of my dad's mouth, they're releasing something. And he laid hold of those words. Now, I want us to look at something else here. You see, the first thing we've looked at is the power of the Father's blessing. And we're going somewhere, so stay with me. But basically, what happened next in the story was Esau got angry. Isn't that right? And Jacob realized, boy, my brother is fuming. So I need to get out. Also, he thought, you know what? I need to go find myself a good Christian wife. Amen? Or maybe a good Hebrew wife, a good Jewish wife. But he was going to go and find himself a wife. The Bible says he finds a wife. You see, a man needs to look for one. Women, you know, it's a bit different. But men need to go find themselves a wife. So if you're single in the house, find a wife. Because you'll find a good thing. Amen? And you'll get favor. Wow! It doesn't actually say that he who receives a husband gets favor. So I tell you, we just bring some extra blessing with us. Amen? You see, my husband got extra favor when I said yes. And you know something? I said yes before he asked the question, but that's another story. I don't recommend that one. At least he knew what the answer would be. Anyway, so he's on the run, Jacob. Yes, he's got a good purpose in mind, but he's left. He's left home, and possibly for the first time in his entire life, he is completely alone. And I just want us to read a couple of verses, verses 10 and 11 of Genesis 28. It says, "Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took a stone and put it at his head and he lay down in that place to sleep." He's all alone. He's got nothing but rocks as pillows. You know, and this man who's been surrounded by family, by a mother who loved him, suddenly he's in that place. You know, I'm certain that Jacob, that his heart had been wounded by not only the words of his father, but something else. You know, there's something about a relationship. Say relationship. Relationship. There's something about relationship that just builds something on the inside of us. It's more than just the words. It's more than just even the actions. There's something that is established on the inside. And you know, Jacob never knew what it was to have an admiring, affirming dad. He never knew what that was. You know, I always say that a father's words of affirmation, they're like a trellis. Do you know if you have a long, spindly plant that you want to grow up a wall? And so you put some wood there and you nail it together and that plant grows up that trellis. And you know, a father's words are like a trellis. You know, when a father speaks words of life, that is like that the child can grow tall and strong. But you know what? Relationship. That thing that you can't quite exactly put your finger on, but just that feeling of my father just believes in me. Not because of what he says. But I can just feel it. That's like the sun shining down on that plant. That's like the rays of the golden sunshine just shining into the hearts of a child's life. And do you know what? God made you and I in such a way where we actually need. We need that trellis. And we need the rays of the sun for us to grow up strong and healthy. We need a father and a mother. You see, a mother, when she becomes a wife, becomes a helpmate. So in although there's times when my husband will delegate the running of things in the home, all in all, I'm a helpmate. And so my job as a mother is to help my husband with words that will breathe life and with a relationship that will be like the sunshine. That just them being and sitting with me, they'll feel the warmth of my love. You know, and fathers and mothers, I want to say, do you know, your words and your life need to be like a trellis and like the rays of sun shining down on your children, no matter what age they are. That never stops. And you see, Jacob never knew this. He never knew what it was to have a dad that would just sit, I don't know this for sure, but just with his arm round his son and say nothing. And the son would just know, my dad believes in me. My dad just knows that I'm going to make it. And you know, every single one of us were designed in such a way where we need that. We need that. Do you know what Abba means? We all know. Do you all know? Abba is the Hebrew, or Ab, really. In Aramaic, it was Abba. But in Hebrew, it's Ab. And the word Ab means father. It's the Hebrew word for dad. But do you know what else it means? It also means architect and builder. Your role as a father, men in the house who have children and those who are yet to have them, is to be like an architect in the lives of your children. That the whole way that you relate to them is to provide that scaffolding upon which they can grow. And then once you've done that, you see, it's like, again, the architecture is like the words, but the builder is like the love. Amen. It's like the relationship that you have. And you know, one of the things the Lord's been sharing with me about recently, it's tenderness. It's like that's hardly gone from my heart for several weeks. And you see, us people who by default in our carnal nature, or in our human nature, those of us who are quite tough, you know, and you see, we can really like that side to ourselves. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You're an A, what's it called? Like, it's A versus, what's it? Yeah, type A. They talk about type A personalities. Assertive, you know, bordering on aggressive. I can spot you all. I know who you are because like sees like. And I'm not looking at any of you. I'm looking straight up to heaven. You see, type A people, we can really like certain things about ourselves. We like that we're efficient, we're fast, we're focused. When a job needs to be got done, we know that if we do it, it'll be done. It'll be finished on time. But let me tell you, you see, I've been crying out to God and seeking him and saying, Father, your word says that your love is shed abroad in my heart, therefore I am loving. Your word says these things about me. And so, Lord, I want to understand what tenderness really is. Do you know what the Lord started to show me? He said me. Funnily enough, no, actually. Although, really, that's what I was expecting. Do you know, I started to see that whenever you see the word tender or tenderness in the Bible, there's two things I saw about it. Number one, tenderness is something we do. Be tender. Put on tenderness. But also, it's always linked with one other godly attribute. And I bet you don't know what it is. It's mercy. Let me tell you why. You see, what makes me, if someone hasn't quite done the job the way I want, get cross with them, or be a bit tough, a bit harsh, it's because I'm judging the quality of what they've just done. I'm saying, you're just not, in my heart, the judgment is, you're not up to scratch on that. And so harshness comes out. Tenderness. It's like his best friend, tenderness, or her probably. Probably a female attribute. Tenderness's close, intimate friend is mercy. Tender mercies. The Bible talks again and again about the tender mercies of God. So to be tender, what do I have to do? I have to choose not to judge. And instead to look at that situation and say, you know what? I can see the truth. I can see what needs to change. I can see how things need to be different. But my heart is going to be a heart that flows with mercy. So I'm not going to allow that harshness to be something that I even for a moment value. Instead, I'm going to value the tenderizing work of the Lord. Do you know how you tender a steak? How many of you know? You get one of those mallets with big studs on the end and you go wham, 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 wham. Amen? Why am I saying this in the context of this? Do you know what? Fathers, mothers, learn to be tender towards your children. There is something about harshness, and the Bible talks about it, particularly in the area of fathers, that harshness can harden the heart of a child. It can make them just literally shut down and shut off. So we need to learn. For those type A personalities out there, come on this journey with me. A journey of tenderization, a journey of softness. Do you know you can be tender and strong? You can be tender and full of authority. I've got the best mum in the world to prove it. Prophet Kathy is probably one of the most tender-hearted people I've ever met. Wow, the authority she carries, the strength in that woman. Extraordinary. Tenderness is something that we put on. Hallelujah. But you know, if you've ended up like Jacob and you've not known what it is to have a tender, loving dad who just speaks words of life to you, who affirms you and makes you feel just loved and built up, someone who believes in you. Do you know one of the things I was aware of? In fact, I'll get onto that in a moment. God wants to do something for you. He wants to do a work in your heart. You know, one of the things that by the Spirit I sometimes see, you know, I sometimes see the child trapped inside adults. And when I'm talking to a grown man, 6'8" he can be, you know, I can see the six-year-old boy that was abandoned, that's bewildered. You know, and if we don't ever get to that place where we open up our hearts to God as Father and we allow Him to heal the lack of a Father in our hearts, then we will wander around like that six-year-old, seven-year-old, eight-year-old, little boy, little girl, and it will hold us back. But I'm here today to tell you that God is able to do a supernatural work through the already done deal of the work of the cross. And He can do such a work that you will not even bear traces of the abandonment, of the rejection, of the hurtful words. Let's pick up the story again at verse 13 of chapter 28. Verse 13. So Jacob's asleep. He's got only rocks for a pillow. And then God. And turn to your neighbor and say, then God. And behold, the Lord God stood above him and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham your father and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I'm with you. I'm going to keep you wherever you go. I'm going to bring you back here. For I will not leave you until I've done what I've spoken to you. Wow. Now, the first thing I want you to see in this passage, in verse 13, is God said something very interesting to Jacob. And I want you to listen carefully for the next couple of minutes, because if you can get hold of this, this can have a structural transformation in your heart. Structural. So deep was the change that this revelation produced in me. God said to Jacob, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your dad. Listen to this. And Isaac. He was saying to him, look, the man who didn't see who you really are. The man who couldn't, because for whatever reason he didn't have the spiritual sight. He couldn't recognize your gift, your destiny. He couldn't recognize just how wonderful you are. Yeah, you were a mild man, enjoyed being indoors. And he couldn't value you just the way you are. He said, that man's not your dad. Yes, he brought you forth here, and you have to honor him as a father. But your real dad, my son, is Abraham. Grandpa, the one you heard about who was full of love. The one who saw the best. The one who dreamed. The one who saw the stars and the sand. He's your real dad. You see, some of you, you've looked towards the people who brought you into this earth, and you always feel this great depth of disappointment because you say, my dad, whatever happens, my mum, my dad, they never really valued me. And so it leaves this dearth on the inside. You know God loves you, but you still see them as your dad. But let me tell you, I am born of the flesh, but I'm also born of the spirit. Yes, Joe, the human being is here before you. But Joe, the spiritual being, you can't see her, but she is alive. And she has a set of parents that didn't happen to bring her into planet Earth. Are you listening to me? Yes, God's my father and he's my mother and he's my all in all. But he gives me people, human beings that I can relate to, that I can emotionally learn from, that I can identify with. And something happens on the inside as I do that. Listen, how do I know that this is definitely God? Because even Jesus said it. Turn in your Bibles very quickly or just on the screen to Matthew 12, verse 47. Matthew 12, verse 47. And we're going to read three or four verses very quickly. Then one said to him, Jesus, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside and they want to speak with you. But he answered and said to the one who told him, he said, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And he stretched out his hand towards his disciples and said, here are my mothers and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven. Listen, some of you need to honor those mums and dads that brought you into the world. You need to love them. You need to give to them and all the rest of it. But in your heart, you've got to get a realization right now that God's going to put some men and women in your life that in your heart, you need to say, you're my mom. You're my dad. And you know what? With that, you get their spiritual inheritance too. Do you know, I remember the day so clearly like it was yesterday. There's somebody had come to preach at Harvest. This is maybe 7 years ago, back in the burnt oak days, when Steve the caretaker was still around. And this particular preacher was talking to Pastor Ken Gott. And she was talking about having visited Harvest. And said to him, wow, it was great visiting their church. Harvest's unbelievable. Never forget it. And Pastor Ken Gott turned around and said, that's because Paul and Joanne are unbelievable. Do you know, those words pierced my heart. I don't think I've ever told him. But those words pierced my heart because the man that I said, I'm taking you as my dad, his words breathed life into my heart. I believed when he spoke that they were words from heaven. Do you know, whenever I see Pastor Ken, I deliberately call him Dad. And I remember him telling me the story about when his daughter, Jo, first got married. Not me. And from engagement onwards, his son-in-law, Tim, who's a great guy, immediately started calling him Dad. And he was like, this is freaky. And I remember him telling us the story. He was going, literally, from the diaster to Mario, he starts calling me Dad. He says, what's all this about, Lake? You know, and you see, so I know all that. I know that he found that weird. But there's something in me that has said, that's my dad. That's my daddy on earth. And you know, he reminds me, there are things about him, he's not perfect. And that doesn't matter. But there's things about him that help me to understand what my daddy in heaven thinks. Do you know, there's been times I've gone up to him. I did it about a year and a half ago in America. And I said, Pastor Ken, pray for me. He was in America one time when I was there with Prophet Kathy. I said, I just know I need right now a father's blessing, the father's blessing. Will you pray for me? And he of course, Joanne. He's still not got to the fact I'm Joe now. But that's all right. And he put his hand on my shoulder and he prayed for me. You know, I remember when I look back over my life at some of the women that God has brought into me, into my life, into my heart. And I've had people, I remember when Pastor Lois said, she said, Joanne, I'm adopting you. And I looked at her and I thought, and I receive it. I'm adopting you too. Do you understand? It requires there's a humility, which I mention, although it doesn't feel like humility to me. It feels like a huge privilege. But there's a humility that goes with it. But something happens on the inside which says, do you know what? I've got these wonderful natural parents. But they've been through battle upon battle, through tragedy, through turmoil, through trauma. And I honor them and I love them. But I have some spiritual parents who have an inheritance, who have a heritage, that who have things that literally by me attaching myself and emotionally identifying with, I have received gifts. I don't mean, you know, natural gifts. I mean anointings, really, really. I've received insights. I've received giftings by identifying with those that God is saying. Do you know what? I've placed that lady in your life. I remember when Prophet Nana came to Harvest the very first time and he gave me a word. We were, you know, we don't see Pastor Ken Lois that often, but he gave me a word. And I'd been seeking God and saying, Father, I want you to place someone in my life, you know, mentoring me, guiding me in the way that, you know, I'm able to do because I'm in a church close to people that I do for others. And I remember seeking him and Prophet Nana released this word over my life. And he said, you've been through a lot. You got very wounded, but the Lord's healed you. And out of that healing, he's given you a healing ministry. This was the first time he met us. And he said, but you've been seeking a spiritual mother, but the Lord says, stop. Because he's going to send someone to you. And when she shows up, you'll know it. That day I stopped. And then one day, Prophet Kathy turned up in my life. You know, and funnily enough, when she arrived, I didn't feel like I needed a mum anymore. You know, I wasn't looking for one because God had told me to stop. But you know just what it means to have somebody who so desires to see me grow, to see me released, to see me out there. You know, she just sent me a text yesterday saying, my heart's desire is for you to go further than I've ever gone, to preach more places than I've ever preached, to be greater than I've ever been. You know, and she said, isn't that the heart of a mother? You see, God wants to do a structural work at the start of this glorious year in many of your lives. Some of you, you haven't yet really allowed God into that place. You know, we have to let go of things too. We let go of being a victim. We let go of saying, yes, but this is my reason for being the way I am. This is my excuse for going around these mountains again and again. This is my excuse, my reason. And we have to let go of them. But the favor of God that is released. You know, the Lord went on to say, do you know what? I believe in you, Jacob. You know, that's what a mother and a father will do. They'll believe in you when you don't believe in yourself. And God's saying to you today, listen, I believe in you. And I know you better than anyone else. You see, by that prophetic word that God released over Jacob, think about it, probably just days or probably days after he deceived his dad. Think of it. He tricked his dad, deceived his dad. He messed up, probably. Certainly the deceiver was kind of the cheat, was strutting his funky stuff. Just a few days after, God says, do you know what? You may see the mess. You may see the mistakes. You may see the character flaws that have been flying around. Maybe not even just for years, but for decades. But I still see my call on your life. I believe in you. And that is the word of God the Father to you today. I believe in you. I have a plan for your life. I'm going to raise you up. I'm going to change your nature. But you know what? It's not because I'm going to change your nature that I love you. Yes, he did change Jacob's nature. He stopped being the deceiver. He became the prince with God, which is what Israel means. God didn't love him because he was about to change. He believed in him because he knew him. God knows you. He knows your heart. You see, Jacob messed up, but he had a good heart. Have you ever noticed that? You know, he did what he was told. You know, you might be a complete rebel, but you may have a good heart. You know, you may mess up again and again, but God sees your heart. And God the Father is saying to you today, I believe in you, I love you, and I have a plan for your life. Will you stand to your feet, please? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Why don't you just shut your eyes in God's presence? Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I believe that at the start of this glorious year, that the Lord is wanting to reset some of you on the inside. He's wanting to do a structural work in your hearts and in your lives. I just want to now invite you to that place where you start to look within and ask yourself, whether it's father, mother, both, how am I in relation to the words they've said, to the way they treated me? Maybe, you know, like me, you love them, you honor them, but it's not dishonoring to face the truth. So right now, in the presence of the Lord, I just want to invite you to just speak to God the Father just about the nature of those relationships with Father, with Mother. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I lift up every person in this place whose Father has been distant or absent. I just sense the Spirit of the Lord saying that some of you've hardly or barely, if ever, known your fathers, and it's created this vacuum. And the Lord is saying to you right now, just open up your heart, open up that vacuum. And in this moment, and it might be you did know them, but they've been such a detached figure from you. Just tell the Lord in these moments right now about how you feel in your heart, about your dad, about your mum, the effect that the relationship with them has had on you. Father, I pray, Lord God, that you would start to work in these moments. Father, as we, your children, are real with you, as we face the truth about some of the pain or disappointments, about the heartbreak, Lord God, I pray that you would pour in your healing love right now. Pour in your healing love. And now I just want to invite everyone in this place, just lift your hands before the Lord. You know, the Bible says there's neither Greek nor Jew, neither male nor female. And I stand before you this morning as a minister of the Most High, as a child and a son of God, according to Scripture. But I know that the Lord wants me to release today into your lives the Father's blessing. So just shut your eyes and lift your hands before heaven and allow the words of God, your daddy, God, your father, who designed you, who knows you and yet still loves you, the God who is better than any human father could ever be, the one who is tender towards you, who pulls you to himself, the one who says to you, my son, my daughter, draw close because I love you. That one right now is releasing his love into your lives. Just receive his love. He's saying to you, my son, my daughter, I love you. I have an everlasting love for you. And that means that there's nothing you can do or say that ever have or ever will stop or cut short my love for you. I love you completely. And I bless you today. I believe in you. I designed you. I know you. And I believe in you. You are my beloved son. You are my well-loved daughter. And in you, not because of what you do, but because of who you are, in you, I take pleasure. In you, I heard the Lord say, my heart rejoices. Father, I speak your blessing over each one in this place. And I thank you for your unfailing love.